The weekend is near and the next round of footy is finally upon us. And your ultimate guide to all the upcoming action lies within the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker. Welcome to Match Committee.
Hello and welcome to the Fox Footy Podcast for this week, brought to you by the free Fox Footy app. Download it from the App Store and Google Play today for all the latest and best news, highlights, scores, and stats. I'm Max Lawton. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us on the Fox Footy Podcast this week. It's been a very exciting week in the AFL world. Plenty going on, so much so that Ben Waterworth is back in the office churning out all the content that you need for the website and the app and all those good places. So instead, it's just us three, me, Tom Morris, to my left in the studio. Thomas, welcome.
Thank you very much, Max. I think Ben is actually sitting there looking at various photos of Andrew Gaff getting off the plane like he's OJ Simpson. It's quite an unbelievable turn of events when a footballer becomes a mini celebrity or a criminal in many regards, given the AFP are there. But I'm sure by the time you listen to this podcast, you'll know at least what Gaff's penalty is. If not, you'll be able to see the photos of him getting off the plane.
Potentially. I think he's going to be in the white Bronco going down the Tulla with OJ's mate. That's all I remember from that story.
Was the World Series on at the same time? Was it basketball?
Yeah, it was like the same day. There was that really good ESPN 30 for 30 doco.
They went to watch OJ Simpson going down the highway instead of the basketball.
What an incredible day.
Anyway, let's talk footy.
Let's talk footy with Sarah Ollie as well, host of The Weekend Lowdown. Sarah, welcome.
Hi, Maxie. How are you going?
Very well. There's plenty going on, isn't there?
There is a lot going on, and it kind of, you forget about the five amazing games we had to start off the round because the Gaff incident has taken over that, of course. But should we start off by talking about the amazing weekend of footy?
Yeah, especially because a lot of the people will be listening to this after the tribunal hearing for Andrew Gaff, as you say, so it's hard to sort of speculate too much with people knowing what's going on. Five games with a margin under a goal, which is a VFL-AFL record, which is easier to set when you have nine games rather than eight or
yes,
six.
I understand.
But it's still incredible. Not just the games themselves, the comebacks. It was resilience round. We called it before the round started. I think Ben did a piece for the website about
that. Yes, very good piece.
Johnson, Freeman, Vandenberg and Brody Smith, really four players coming back from long-term injuries, some of them longer than others. Alex Johnson being the longest at a good 2,100, 2,300 days.
A long time, whatever the case.
Since the 2012 grand final. It's incredible stuff. What was your favourite thing from the weekend, Tom?
That's a good question. I think Alex Johnson's return was my favourite thing. Given that, I know Nathan Freeman's debut was a long time coming as well, but given that Alex Johnson had spent 6 years coming back from multiple knee operations and other sorts of operations, I never thought he would get back because it's not like he was a good player, but it's not like he was a star beforehand. Yes. I would argue that Daniel Menzel was a better player before he did his first knee than Alex Johnson was, even though Johnson was a premiership player.
Chris Scott talks about it all the time when the Menzel stuff comes out, about how good Menzel could have been.
But from a game perspective, I really enjoyed Essendon versus Hawthorn. I thought something about that game was brilliant. Tom Mitchell and Zach Merritt had, 85 touches between them. Mm-hmm. But I would be surprised if either of them got three votes because I think Jack Gunston was best on ground in that match. But
Ben Stratton up there as well.
I think Mitchell got the eight coaches' votes and then Gunston got seven.
Yeah, okay.
Well, but I was at that game and it was frenetic. Well, you know, as we do, sitting there writing the match report and you think you've got it done and dusted. And then
you don't.
Collier kicks a goal with 30 seconds
on his
to
left.
Go and you're thinking, oh my goodness,
Collier
I
on
better
his left.
Start rewriting here.
That was an unbelievable
and he hadn't
goal.
Hit a target all day, mind you. But I love the moment from James Warple, the first-year player up against Hurley, and he wins that David and Goliath battle, albeit Hurley did have a little slip. But it was an amazing finish. And one of several. I mean, I love Tom McCartan's goal. Of course, I'm a little bit biased there.
Quite agile, actually.
Very agile. Can you get down like that?
I definitely couldn't
do that.
I
can't bend my hip like
that. I like the fact we're doing this podcast and Sarah's swinging her leg.
Everyone knows podcasts are a visual medium.
That's right. What was your favourite moment, Max?
The Sydney Collingwood game was very exciting and it was
lower scoring, though.
Yes, but it was one of those tense defensive ones and really impactful for the Swans actually getting up.
Yeah.
Really important for their finals chances. The showdown, probably, for me.
Yeah.
Which is, I think everyone is agreeing now, and it has emerged as the best rivalry in the AFL.
It is.
They hate each other.
Proper hate,
The intensity of the crowd, of the match, and you're guaranteed a close game. We get another one, and then all of the stuff. And how perfect Josh Jenkins in that post-match interview. I'm in the Fox Footy office doing some tweeting and Facebooking and all that stuff after the game. And we're just in there. There's some of the producers in the background and some of the talent sitting around waiting to go back on air.
and he says that he thinks it hit the post.
Oh.
And with this eruption of from the entire office, just like incredible that he would say that.
How good's the honesty? That's great.
It's perfect for him because he's such an American sports fan, and that's what you do. You just say what you think.
Yeah,
it's really refreshing when you get that sort of thing.
It was terrific, wasn't it? I've got to say, though, Max, the way you covered that game was brilliant. But the whole Saturday was an amazing day of football,
yes.
Something we haven't seen in a very long time. The question I have for you both...
Well, feel free to ask me what my favourite moment was, Tom, because you
skipped
right over that.
I thought you just said it.
No, I just did a little...
Tom McCartan.
No, was that my favourite moment?
I said it was one
of my favourite moments.
Let's get it on rewind. What's your other favourite moment, Sarah?
Well, I thought Friday night's game was sensational. I was there as a spectator.
Yep.
And Max, your Cats almost got there in the end, and we saw potentially a way to expose Richmond, and that's being kamikaze up the corridor. And Chris Scott, he keeps going, doesn't he? He keeps boiling with that commentary.
I really like that after the game.
Yes, so do I.
And I completely agree with him. Richmond obviously are beatable. They've lost four times this season. Mm. But the fact is, you can't just play the handball game against them. We know that now. And they were kicking down the middle, and it was very impressive from Geelong. Richmond still deserved to win that game.
Yep.
They had the ascendancy in all of the statistical categories, really. I think the margin maybe was a little bit closer than the Cats deserved. But the fact is, the Cats are exactly who we thought they were. Like, my read on the Cats preseason was they're going to finish 5th to 8th. At their best, they can beat anyone. They've got some superstars, but their bottom six is going to cost them big games.
There we go.
It's exactly what they are.
Well, they're 9th at the moment, so almost exactly. But I get
your
point.
You'd like to think they would finish in the 5th to 8th given
their
draw.
They should finish 5th to 8th. Now, I'm really interested in the way Geelong played them and how they adjusted their game style. And
yeah.
I guess the experts will know better than me, but I got a sense that Richmond, well, they play this territory game. But now Geelong are looking to play this territory game against Richmond. That's the way you have to play against the Tigers. You've got to fight fire with fire. And in the end, they could have pinched it. They didn't. And it would have been great for the comp had they had. But no, it was a ripping game of football, Sarah, if that was your favourite moment for the weekend.
Well, one of, Tom. Maybe I need to go back and listen
to
what I did
say. How many favourite moments can you have?
Well, I think in a weekend like this, you can have several favourite moments.
It was just Friday, Saturday, really, though, wasn't it? Sunday was pretty ordinary.
No, I love 16 v 18 and the 16's winning.
Well,
that was great.
It's a shame to say, but Gaff actually lit up Sunday. Otherwise, it was going to be quite an irrelevant day of the week.
And lit up that derby because all of a sudden there were spot fires everywhere. He wasn't safe on the ground. He was getting lined up by Michael Johnson.
No.
Any player that had the opportunity to put him into the turf. I haven't seen scenes like that in a very long time on a football field. Do we need a red card send-off? Tom, you wrote an article about this.
Yes, we'd need a red card send-off, but it's important it needs to be administered in the right way.
Yep.
So there's been a few articles and a few people suggest, it can't happen because the umpires would get it wrong. Take it out of the on-field umpires' hands. You can consider what they say. But it needs to be a video review red card system. And it needs to be only for incidents that are strictly behind the play and so violent that the person that's hit or the victim, there's no chance he could come back on the field.
And that's why you need a video because Gaff wasn't even reported.
No.
Because no umpire on the field saw the incident.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It makes you think how many times this would have happened in the 1970s and before when there was one field umpire on the play, on the ground.
And probably one camera filming the game, so we missed a bunch.
Someone sent me a really good tweet yesterday. You might
know. Unlikely.
Josh Cutter sent me a tweet yesterday.
I went to primary school with Josh.
There you go.
Hello.
And he said, the question should be, why was Gaff's incident not worthy of a red card? Because every other sport in the world, you'd be sent off for that. And every other level of AFL football, you'd be sent off for that.
You are, yeah.
I don't like the assumption that we can't have a send-off because it's almost like, we don't, so we can't.
Yeah.
Why is the AFL special? Why is footy special that we can't have this rule that every other contact sport has?
Yeah, or that we don't have a send-off rule because we might get it wrong. Well, okay, let's not have any umpires because they might get it wrong as well. This rule I would only probably use for Callum Mills and Tom Bugg, Barry Hall and Staker and this one, and that is probably it. I wouldn't have sent Jeremy Cameron off. Just no grey area, but purely behind the ball, King hits,
It's about the action more than... So it's the opposite almost of the match review. So we're going to talk about Andrew Gass going to get whatever penalty he's going to get for the tribunal. We're not sure how long it could be. I'd be comfortable with anything above, say, 6.
Yeah. Would you be comfortable with 6?
Mm.
I think 8.
I'd like 7 or more.
Yeah, 7 or more.
8 would be ideal, I think.
Yeah.
But
do you think the calls for 12 weeks are a bit overzealous, a bit over the top?
There's always the situation when you have any incident like this. It doesn't happen too often, but it's the race to say the biggest number.
Sure.
You know, we have the incident with the Lee Matthews incident in 1985, I think it was, where the Geelong player who was hit in that scenario.
Neville Bruns.
Yes, come out and said that he should be banned for 12 months. And he can speak to this incident because he was involved in a very similar one, but it's just not a realistic idea.
I hope he's not trying to get his retribution through this incident, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that he is, but perhaps as well, like, Lee Matthews is a legend of the game, isn't he? And
yes.
That would be hard to take if you got your jaw broken by this person that we all hold up on a pedestal.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I hope he isn't using this incident to maybe get his own kind of recourse.
To elevate his own memory of the event, or lack of memory of the event.
Yeah.
What I will say is 10 to 12 to 14 weeks, the longer the potential penalty is, the less relevant each week is.
Yeah.
So just like, this is the way it was explained to me yesterday by my dad, if you have $40 million in your bank account or $60 million, it doesn't really matter. Just like if you have a 10-week penalty or a 14-week penalty, they're both ridiculously long.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. So I think it needs to be 7 or 8 weeks, and I think that is a comfortable sanction and it wouldn't allow Gaff to play again this year.
Is Tim speaking from experience with those dollar bills?
Absolutely not. Take a few zeros.
Yeah, a teacher's salary.
Not on a teacher's salary. Take a few zeros off that. Hello to Father Tim out there.
Hello.
I don't think he knows how to work podcasts.
I like that you referred to him as father as well, this upper class of you. So there's a lot of things going on with this Gaff incident. We talk about the length of the penalty, and that's going to happen.
Mm.
I get worried that it's hard to grade the incident and separate it from the person. And there's always... So what we saw on Twitter is as soon as it happened, we would have tweets. We're having tweets about the commentators in particular, because they have a very tough job where they have to talk about the incident but also move on, commentate on the fact that Gaff's still on the field and all of those things. And I had a problem with him staying on in the first place. I thought,
from a coaching perspective,
I don't see the reason that he needed to stay on. One Twitter person put it to me that it was for rotation purposes.
Yeah, someone said that last night as well. I actually don't know what I think here, because the default position for any footballer is if you're not injured, you stay on the field.
And the idea that you want to keep him in his regular circumstances to not make it feel weird.
He was rattled, though.
Completely rattled.
From
you
that
saw
moment,
him on the bench.
He was gone.
I wouldn't have taken him off for any other reason than his own safety was in danger.
It was.
It was an extraordinary circumstance. I think it was bigger than the game and rotations and whether they needed to build some percentage.
But in the heat of the moment, in the coach's box, it might be hard to make those calls. So I can understand why Adam Simpson wouldn't have made that call. But there are ramifications to this entire Gaff incident, which stretch far beyond any football situation, and that includes a potential police inquisition. Always gets brought up. But the question for you, Sarah, you have a law degree, is why is football any different to the side of the road? Because if someone did this anywhere else in the world, they'd be going to jail.
Disclaimer, there's a reason I'm now in journalism and not in the legal profession.
Well, okay, give us your thoughts then.
There is part of me that sympathises with that, that you shouldn't be able to hit someone like that on a football field. However, AFL football is a contact sport.
Mm.
There's implied consent that you are going to have some kind of physical aggression. Of course, you don't imply to be, have your jaw broken and have teeth knocked out.
Yes.
But there is a scaling system where you could kind of see that. If I was to come into our work at Fox Footy, Tom, and punch you in the face, it would be entirely different because there's no implied consent.
You'd probably have more reason to than Andrew Gaff would.
True, that's true. Let's box it on. But so I do sympathise with that to an extent. But I think the football field, in terms of AFL, it's a professional league, is different.
Do you sympathise with Gaff, Maxie?
Look, it sounds bad, but yes.
Yeah.
Because he's a human being going through a terrible circumstance of his own creation that he should not have placed himself in. But you can still, you can judge him for his action and judge him as a person while still feeling bad for him.
Yeah, there's a nuance to it. Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be black or white. Absolutely right. And you go into that circumstance and you see him on the bench and how distraught he was. And it's so difficult to grade that sort of thing. My issue with it as an incident, obviously it's a horrific thing to do, and there are questions over whether he was trying to punch him in the chest or the gut or whatever it is. I'm a reverse Scott Palmer. Stop punching. You just can't. There's no reason to punch anyone in anything unless you're in boxing or UFC, right?
Yes.
What are you doing trying to punch someone just in the chest or the gut to get rid of him? Yeah. If you're in that circumstance, something is going wrong in your life, I think. I don't know about that.
I think the niggle in the AFL, though, has gotten to a point that maybe these kind of reactions do happen. I don't even know if we've said Andrew Brayshaw's name at this point in the podcast.
Yes, he's the poor bloke.
Who is the unsaid victim, obviously.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what happens in these situations. We end up losing sight of what happened. And Andrew Brayshaw is the victim here. And he looked in so much distress. And we know his family were distressed.
Of course.
He's had to have surgery. He can't eat solids for 4 weeks. So
that
we have to remember that as well.
How bad would that be?
I know. You could still have a Pinot, though, through a straw, couldn't you?
I was speaking to Jonathan. I don't think Jonathan Brown would mind me saying. We were speaking before on the couch last night in the meeting, and he was saying that he used to hit people and punch people with a straight forearm across the chest all the time. And he'd make sure he'd never do it over the ribs or the stomach because that could actually break a rib. But he felt the area above, I guess, the nipples and below the neck was actually quite a strong area of someone's body.
Yeah, chest plate
and they could cop that, even though it would also give them the rude shock of, well, hey, you're here to play. So I think players will naturally do whatever they get away with. The onus is not on the players, in my view here, to stop giving those little punches to the chest. It's actually on the umpires to sort it out, and the players will learn very quickly.
To clarify my point from before, I'm not saying that Gaff is a broken human who likes to punch people.
No, we get that.
No, but my point is it's about the cultural idea of, oh, you can just keep hitting someone in the chest, because that's what sport is. I come from this from a weird perspective. I barely played footy growing up. I barely played much sport.
You had quite a
up.
Solid forward defence in cricket, though, didn't you?
Oh, for one season.
Yes.
Average three from one innings.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the need for that violence in any form. It's all of these things about you're just trying to prove supremacy over someone and you're just trying to beat them. I understand it's a physical game, but it just seems, all of it seems so stupid. Mm. If everyone starts punching each other in any way like that, what do we lose from the game?
No, nothing, but the onus is on the umpires.
Or is the onus on, you know, the powers that be?
Oh, well, yes.
It can be on everyone.
I do find it strange that Gill is so happy to change so many rules, but when it comes to something like this, he so unequivocally says,
what,
no.
Red card, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. What, do you think this would be a red card, Max?
Yeah, I'm totally happy with them introducing it, and I'm happy with them not. I just want them to crack down on something.
Yeah.
Do something.
I just don't like, yeah, I agree. I don't like the meaningless bumping before the game. Everyone's trying to look like a tough guy.
It's just stupid.
I know I didn't play the elite level, Max, but I never had any interest in that. Just go and play the game. And I think the best players generally do just play the game.
And can I just say, you don't have to have played at the elite level
no.
to have an informed opinion.
No, I played some
opinion
Baffa.
On That's, this time.
Well, that, Baffa's a high level of football, isn't it, Sarah?
Yeah, it's high enough.
Better than year 8 school footy. So let's talk about the next big thing from this round, and really it's looking forward for the next 3 weeks.
This is where you excel, Maxie.
Yes, this is the run home.
Oh, yes, I was going to say the run home.
It's very interesting to see what's going to happen because we have one win separating the teams from, what, 3rd to 10th, 4th to 10th, I believe it is.
Yeah.
GWS on 12.5 wins, Geelong being 9th on 11. It is so very close, and there are so many games where teams in this race for the 8 are playing each other. I'm going to have an article going out today, I believe it is. About that.
Look forward to that.
So, would I be right to say the Swans are in all of those games? Well, three of their games are the Swans.
Yes, so the Swans games are very difficult. Yep. They've got quite a tough run home. Melbourne is a tough run home. GWS is a tough run home. And the teams that can get into the top four, I'd say, are GWS, Collingwood, and maybe Melbourne if you believe in them.
Max, can I ask you on the fly, can you predict your top 8 or is that too hard? Given
no, I can.
Give us the top 8 then.
Go.
Richmond, West Coast, Collingwood, GWS, Melbourne, Geelong, Hawthorn, Port Adelaide.
Oh, Geelong, Hawthorn. How good would that be? 6v7 at
Melbourne,
the G.
Melbourne, Port Adelaide qualifying final.
Elimination
final at the G. So who misses out then?
So that would be Sydney and North missing out both on percentage.
Okay. Sydney aren't playing well enough to be in the 8, Sarah.
No, and they've got a very tough run home.
Seriously, Buddy's walking around with everyone else on his shoulders.
Okay, can I just say this on this whole Buddy thing though? Just let me have a little rant.
Here we go.
The strut was back.
Yeah,
and I'll
great.
Tell you what, don't write him off. Write him off at your peril.
Who's written him off?
Last week, it was all he's cooked. You know, he only kicked 2 goals against Essendon. He's done.
That's right, Sarah. He can beat any first game of college basketballer in a one-on-one. I guarantee it.
He kicked 3 goals against Darcy Moore while he was on the field, Maxie.
Yes, he did. Yes,
Buddy
he
Franklin did. May not be the best player in the competition anymore, although he has the potential to be, but he is the most high-profile and
enthralling
player in the competition when he's at his best. And as far as big-game players go, I still think he is the most damaging.
There's an aura about him, isn't there?
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah. I love watching Buddy at his best. You're right. I don't know why you're having your ass. I didn't write him off. But anyway.
No, I'm just saying that's the general discussion about
name it. Names. Who wrote him off?
No, that's just the talking.
Come on,
of the town.
Sorry.
You're allowed to talk to the vibe.
I just want to get confrontational.
It's the vibe.
It's the Marbo.
Come on.
What else with the run home then? So
Sydney's in a tough spot. They won and that really keeps them in the fight, but they have to play Melbourne this week. And you'd say that Melbourne, if they win that, are going to make the 8. I've been talking about this for a while, that they're either going to miss or get close to winning a flag.
Melbourne could make the four, though, can't they? I'm quite
Melbourne finishes high second.
So they've got Sydney at the MCG, then they travel to West Coast. They did beat West Coast in the West last year.
Tom McDonald, yeah.
Fantastic game at Subi. And then GWS at the MCG in round 23. They can win all those games, or they could lose all of them. Either way, we're finding out if they can beat a good team.
Yeah, so what you have is GWS finishing fourth, Melbourne fifth.
Yes.
So that Giants-Melbourne round 23 game could be a fight for a double chance.
Yes, although I have actually Melbourne winning that, but finishing fifth below GWS, because I think GWS wins against the Crows in Canberra, where they're so good.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they play someone else in round 22, who I'm forgetting immediately right
Swans.
Now. Yes, they do. I think they win the
they win the
Battle of the Bridge.
Yeah, but in Canberra.
That battle. We love Spotless. That battle, don't we?
Battle in Parliament House.
So I think GWS can get there to 14 and a half wins, and that's...
Hello to Malcolm.
Yeah. Big Mal. Oh,
Sarah's got this cackle going. It's terrific.
Big Mal.
If you still listen to the podcast.
I don't think Mal listens to the podcast, unfortunately.
No.
But
yeah. No,
his favourite football team, the Sydney Roosters.
Okay, so do you then do the run home beyond the first week of finals? Do you predict what's going to happen?
I mean, I could project that far, but even projecting three rounds of results to get the top eight is tough.
Imagining West Coast finishing second, to me, seems a couple of spots too high given their injuries and the fact Gaff will miss.
So the fact is there are 1.5 games clear of third of GWS.
So it's going to be hard for them to finish lower than second.
Yeah, it's a good buffer.
So West Coast plays Port, they play Melbourne, and then they travel to Brisbane in the last round.
Tell you what, if you finish third and play West Coast and West Coast in the first week of finals, you wouldn't be too unhappy, would you?
You can win that. GWS got close to winning that earlier this season.
Yeah.
I think at their best, Melbourne can do that, and we could find that out in round 22.
Yeah, so Melbourne could play, well, yeah, it all depends. It's just interesting, isn't it, that Sydney could miss the finals, because they looked a lock about 6 weeks ago.
Mm.
Who'd they beat? They smashed St Kilda.
Since then, they've only scored above 73 points once.
Is that right? Up, yeah.
They can't score.
Yeah,
and they got to 73 because Buddy kicked six and McCartan kicked that freak goal. That was it. That's why I'm so down on Sydney. Yeah.
Well, Dan Hannanbury comes back in this weekend. Jared McVay is an interesting one as well. Just keeps bubbling along. Surely he has to play on at the Sydney Swans. It's bizarre to think they wouldn't let him do so. But then again, John Longmire does have form with Ryan O'Keefe. So,
can we talk about...
He's a stubborn man, horse. Mm.
Can we talk a little bit about Dan Hannanbury, Tom?
We can.
Let's talk what about Dan, Tom, me.
Given your story...
We got a little sting from Sarah. What would you like to talk about?
So given your story on Monday night, which you spoke about on the couch on foxfootie.com.au as well, that Sydney and Hannanbury were both open to the idea of trading the Victorian home.
Yes.
What do you have on that?
Well, that's exactly it, Max. You've said the story beautifully. I couldn't have said it better myself.
It's almost like I've read it.
No, so I think the extension of that is how does this possibly work, given that Dan Hannanbury is contracted to the end of 2021 and seemingly a rusted on blood, isn't he? He loves the Sydney Swans. The Swans love him.
Drafted there in his year 12.
He was. He played a couple of games while still at Xavier College. But what I will say, though, is the monetary side of things is not as big of a problem as you'd think. My understanding is the Sydney Swans...
What was his deal front-ended?
He's on an average of $800,000 a year.
Oh, similar.
To you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Not too far wrong. The lowdown is an absolute juggernaut. But so wherever he goes, they're not going to pay him $800,000 a year.
No.
But $600,000 a year, maybe $650,000, is about right, I think, for where he's at the moment. I think clubs feel the same way, given his injuries, but also the fact he's a three-time All-Australian, a premiership player, and so on. But he... Sydney Swans will continue to pay his salary if a trade gets done to the tune of about $150,000 or $200,000 a year. So the advantage for Sydney is they free up space. It's not as much the draft pick they get in return. They free up space, which they badly need, to then go and get a star from another club, which they will try to do because they do renovate on the run.
And I think there's also the chance that they are selling at his high point. As low as this point is for Hannanbury's career, this could be his high point because we've seen him have a tough year. He had a very limited preseason.
Mm.
He's been battling injuries all season, soft tissue ones, and he's played over 200 games now, so he's definitely the status of veteran. Sarah, as a Swans fan, what have you seen from him? Do you think we've seen the best of Hannanbury at this point?
The best is probably past him, but I expect him to bounce back.
Okay.
He's come off zero preseason, and from what we've heard, he probably shouldn't have been playing for most of the year with that groin injury.
Right.
So
he'll have surgery at the end of the year.
Yeah. I think we may have seen the pinnacle, but I don't think he'll be that far away from it again.
Because I suppose the danger is if you're, for example, St Kilda offering him a 5-year deal, as has been floated by other sources in the media, that would be committing for a long time on someone who's just had a very bad injury plague season.
Yeah, you're right. But my my thoughts on this have changed overnight, actually. I had it explained.
Right. Yeah, nice sleep on it?
Yeah, I slept on it. I thought, five-year deal, that's ridiculous. I think that's probably most people's gut reaction. Five-year deal for Hanbury, given that he's struggling at the moment with injury, is a really big leap of faith. But then I thought to myself, who cares what's happening in 5 years? Is your list better next year with Hanbury than it is this year? And the answer to that is clearly yes. So you just get him on board if you have the salary cap space, and clearly the Saints do. Yes. So I think it's a good move. And if you need to give him 8 years, you give him 8 years, because down the track it's so far, you can deal with it when you get there. That's the best way to do it, I think, as long as you're not paying him too much down the track. You front-end it heavily now, and then in 4 or 5 years' time, if you need to cut him or something happens, then you're not paying him too much to make it hurt. So I like it from St Kilda. It's bold, it's ambitious. They need to show they can get some players, but I don't expect them to be the only club that's in the mix.
What did you make of Richo's comments last night on 360? He was asked directly about it. And bizarre. He almost went there. He almost said, yeah.
He wasn't as strong in his denial as I would have expected to be.
He pulled it back, didn't he? Would you have preferred that he was a bit more black and white?
Yeah, well, I don't think he knew.
Like he used to be.
I don't think he knows.
True.
I don't think he knows.
Okay.
I think the list management committee or the list management team at a football club is actually quite separate to the coach. So they'll ask the coach what they think. The coach will say, and he said this last night, yes, I like Dan Hanbury, would be good to get him if we can get him. But I'm not sure he was completely across the story that they had tabled a five-year offer to Dan Hanbury. I might be completely wrong, but that's what I picked up watching him on 360.
Fair enough. One quick one before we get into Fair or Fast, everyone's favourite segment.
Yes.
We sort of have to do the weekly check-in on this at this point. Who is good enough to beat Richmond in the grand final? If we're assuming they're taking one of the spots right now, West Coast having some injury issues, Collingwood having injury issues, GWS having injury issues from the Carlton game. If you had to pick one team who can challenge the Tigers, who would you say?
Well, if I have to pick one.
If you have to pick one. Maybe one that will get there and one that can beat them.
I think the Giants.
Can beat them?
For both.
For both,
yeah.
Yeah, at their best, they have they won 8 of 9.
Yeah. Like, I know Geelong got close the other night, but I actually, I don't think they were as close as Chris Scott was leading on that they were.
Yeah.
The Tigers could have won that game by 40 points, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Geelong and Melbourne are my two. I think Geelong have got the star power. So if your stars perform, then they can carry the rest along with them. And they now... Yeah,
but their stars all did perform the other night.
And they lost by 3 points.
It was the bottom bottom six.
But can you see them? Can you see all those stars performing like that again?
No, yes, I can.
When Richmond didn't have really any standouts.
And they'll need to do it in 4 straight finals because they're not making the top 4.
I understand that. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm saying it can happen.
On the day they could
I'm
beat
saying
them.
It can happen. Whereas I don't, for example, I don't think Hawthorn can beat Richmond at the MCG in a grand final.
Probably
I don't
not.
Think that can happen. I think Melbourne can.
Yeah.
But I think they need Jack Viner to be back, so it probably needs to be late in the final series for that to happen.
That's an issue there. That's a massive issue for them.
I think there's a real possibility he won't play again this year.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then it's been 2 years ruined by an injury that is traditionally career-ruining.
Is that in part his own doing? He seems to be very eager to get back, perhaps, before he should.
Yeah, not dissimilar to Dan Hanbury. These footballers are cut from a different cloth.
Yes.
They don't take no for an answer. It's what made Steve Johnson so good. He just used to play, apparently, through every injury possible. Just played and got through it and found a way.
Mm.
In the end, that catches up to you at different times of your career. Viney's still very young.
He's a baby, yeah.
Doesn't look like a baby.
No, he's got the biggest quads I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Quadzilla over there.
Anyway, so I think it probably is a bit of overwork, but I think there's also plenty of players that do a lot more work and they benefit from it. So, I mean, for example, would Shane Crawford have got to 2008 had he not done all the work early in his career? Probably not. So it's a real balancing act. It's better than doing too little.
Yeah, and I agree with you on Melbourne being the team that probably can beat Richmond.
Do you?
I think those last, I mean, I've been on them for a while. I've been a stand for Melbourne for some time. They, in the last 2 weeks, have been very good at repelling inside 50s, much better than they were. That was their real flaw.
And then so they fixed it, have they?
A little bit. Keep in mind, it's a two-week period, and one of those games was against Gold Coast, which I could defend. But against Adelaide, they were very impressive. I think it was below 20% inside 50 conversion rate for goals.
Yeah, nice. Which, so they found a way to cover lever then, haven't
when
they?
It was somewhere around 24.5%. They talked about that on Couch last night. So that's impressed me, and they are the best scoring team in the comp. And I think you need to play at your absolute best to beat Richmond at the G, and I think Melbourne's absolute best can get there.
Can I say, so we know that Marzi, my partner, is a mad tiger.
Yes.
His biggest fear is that the Melbourne Demons will finish fourth and he has to sit in the MCC and watch the Tigers amongst Demon supporters To such an extent that he's already put out there that he'll go and sit in the southern stand.
Is that
if
right?
That is the case.
Yeah, obviously away from the Melbourne supporters.
Obviously.
I think if Richmond play Melbourne in the first final, we're looking a long way ahead here. It's a month away. If Richmond play Melbourne in the qualifying final, Richmond will win. But if Melbourne then make the grand final, I think Melbourne have a real chance to get them back because they will learn from that.
I agree. And I think that getting to the finals will be such a barrier that they will be not happy to lose, but it will be okay for them to lose one. To get over that. And then
we've spoken about this a little bit on the podcast, probably earlier in the year. This Richmond momentum, this tide of momentum we saw last year, it's this intangible wave of emotion that goes through the supporters and the club and the players. And that could easily happen with Melbourne this year because it's been so long since they've succeeded. And when you do that, it's very, very hard to stop. There's no stats that prove just how hard these players are trying while the crowd is so loud. And that GWS prelim final last year proved that. That was quite amazing.
We have to say, of course, in any Melbourne discussion, they have not yet beaten a team in the top nine.
Yeah, is that
so
right?
Let's just drop that in there.
Is that right?
It's still true.
It's still true.
That they should.
Is that right?
They should end that this week.
How are they fifth?
Because they didn't make the top eight, so they had an easier run, and they've stacked their fixtures.
So they've beaten no good teams.
No, they have, but those good teams just haven't.
They've beaten Adelaide.
They've been out of the eight at the time.
No, they haven't beaten any teams currently in the top nine.
That's quite incredible.
Because Adelaide isn't.
Yeah, that is amazing.
That's
lost
nuts.
To Port.
Yeah, anyway.
I think they beat Sydney, but anyway.
They do, yeah. I think you'll smash Sydney.
Let's take a look at everyone's favourite segment, Australia's favourite segment now.
Fair or fast.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. Fair or fast.
Thank you, Christina Aguilera.
Not sure if you're across. Well, I'm just going to ask this anyway. If you're not across it, just say you're not across it. Sure. Fair or fast, Max. Basil Zemplis got it wrong with his interview with Adam Simpson.
I thought you were going to say, Andrew Geoff punched someone. What? fair on that one. That was a very weird interview.
So what made it weird? Because, it's very media watch type chat, but just very quickly, what made it unusual?
Very sandy word of us, Hutchie. The difficulty you have in an interview like that is there are some very on-the-nose questions that you want to ask.
Don't bring up the nose in front of Basil. That's unfair, Max.
Come on, Sarah. Please.
Yeah, so
he's trying to ask this very... It's not a tenuous question. It's a question that you could ask, and there is an interesting story within it. But the way that Basil asked about what was it the way that players think they can act at West Coast, the
culture.
Do you
have a cultural problem, or is it an arrogance issue?
Which he didn't really refer to anything specifically at the time. He mentioned the Nick Nat cameraman thing at the airport, which we discussed a few weeks ago, but nothing else. You really sort of need to preface that with your idea before you ask that question, and then it led Adam Simpson to this path where he was immediately defensive and had his guard up and wasn't going to answer the question either way. It was very, very strange.
It was strange for a news cross. It's like Tim Watson doing that to John Worsfold.
Basil was trying to be a little bit more hard-hitting, which I actually really like, but would have been far better off saying...
It's not footy classified. I think there's a time where you can kind of corner someone like that and maybe ask those hard-hitting questions. Probably not in a 90-second news cross.
I was going to say, don't they usually get 90 seconds to ask, is this guy going to be in this week?
Yeah. Also, we've just had this massive incident, the Andrew Gaff incident. Why don't you just ask more questions around that?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't mind it from Basil. I've watched it back and I thought, this is great. This is entertaining to watch. And it's a question that elicited an answer which showed an emotion of the coach. Anyway, so that's fair for you, is it, Max?
I believe so. Depending on what you actually said is the
statement,
that's
fine.
Fair.
Sarah. Sean Burgoyne needs 20 games to break Adam Good's record for all-time games for an Indigenous person. If he does so, he's the greatest Indigenous player of all time. Fair or farce?
Oh, well, I need a list of Indigenous players in front of me, but he'll certainly be right
fair
up there.
Fair or farce?
Adam Good is a dual Brownlow medalist, is he not?
You've got Polly Farmer, who I think is a Team of the Century member.
Certainly elite.
Fair.
Well, do you have one at the moment? Who would you say is the best Indigenous player of all time?
No. Adam Goods.
I would say Polly Farmer is the most significant Indigenous player of all time, but Adam Goods is the most successful Indigenous player of all time.
Yeah.
So I would say Fast to myself. What would you say?
Okay, I'll say Fast as well, because I'll go with Goodsy as well.
Max.
But holy hell, what? How good for Hawthorn for him to go around again.
Amazing. Awesome.
Isn't it interesting that suddenly they're willing to keep on a veteran?
Because do you know why, though? It's because he hasn't lost his speed.
Yeah.
Clarko's a fan of any player that can run fast.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
And I think seeing this year as well has made Clarko realise, you look at the age profile of that list, they're in the flag window right now.
Absolutely.
So why wouldn't you keep him on another year when he can still play at the level needed?
He's Mr. Fix-It for them.
That's right.
Adam Good's the last ruckman to win a Brownlow, by the way.
That's good. Sarah, if you need to get the splinters out, let me know, because you've been sitting on that fence. Max. Tom Lynch
get the tweezers out.
Jesus, that's a bad visual.
I don't have them.
Tom Lynch... handled his departure from the Suns with class, maturity and dignity, fair or fast, Max?
Oh, without knowing all of the details about how he had the conversations, I'm going to say fair. I think it's a very tough scenario to deal with when you have to be in Melbourne for a few weeks. Everyone knows what's happening. The Suns pretty much know they're getting a I'm leaving from him. So you got to fly up there. You got to, I mean, it's quitting. It's like quitting your job, except to a direct competitor, and it's very obvious and being played out in the media. That's a tough scenario for any player.
Very tough scenario. Jared Healy said that when he left Melbourne for the Sydney Swans, he was holidaying Bali, and then he left.
Of course, he was.
And then he left Melbourne, and then he came back, and he went to Sydney and started playing for the Swans. There was no
a simpler time
confronting the players. I agree with you, Max. I think he's been harshly criticised in the media. Tom Lynch. He did the best job he could. He's going to leave. That's the reality. That's what happened.
And congratulations on making the decision before the end of the season, which clearly could have been made and it could have dragged out forever. It's good to get that part of it over and done with.
And Gold Coast making a big song and dance about sacking him as captain. So what? He's actually out.
How about Mark Evans on ABC on Sunday talking about player managers potentially trying to keep players away from Gold Coast and telling them to put their balls on the line on the radio.
Very Tony Cochran of him.
Yeah, he's been spending too much time with Tony, quite clearly.
I think he's a bit defensive at the moment, Evans. Sarah, fair or fast, the snap kick is a plague that is sweeping the AFL and must be stopped. Fair or fast?
A plague on both your houses. Ah, no, fast.
A pox.
What's that from?
A pox or a plague?
Both.
Poxy plague, whatever. Yeah. It's just a bit of Shakespeare for our learned listeners.
Is this a dagger I see before me, or one of those daggers of the mind,
Tom?
Yeah,
we'll keep talking about
it. So this refers to Cam Rayner and Ollie Wines both choosing to snap around their body as opposed to the conventional drop punt. Matthew Lloyd came out and said, use the drop punt, guys. You know, this is from his perspective, what he would have grown up using, and he was one of the best goal kickers of all time and very reliable with his set shot action. But I think nowadays a modern player does practice this snap around the body.
Absolutely they do.
Rayner chose the wrong time to do it, though.
Sure.
That was a drop punt goal in anyone's book.
But I still think fast as to what you just said.
How do you know it was a drop punt situation? What did Harry Taylor kick when he missed?
That's the thing. We're not talking about the missed drop punts, are we?
Exactly. If he is most comfortable from that point on the ground kicking that way, that is what he should do. He should kick the way he feels most comfortable with mentally and physically. If that happens to be a snap, do that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there.
Yeah, obviously, anyone in the media talking about this is either going to be people like us who haven't played the game or people who have played the game and therefore are older and played when drop punts were much more common than snaps. So they're going to say drop punts.
Very good, Max. Sarah, I'm going to you again because I'm going to finish with Max.
Fair enough.
Sarah, Nick Riewoldt is the best special comments person in the industry, fair or fast?
I'll say he's the best special comments of this season in terms of the fresh angle he is bringing.
Fair or fast?
Rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year, Max.
Fair or fast?
Who are you going to put offside if you say yes?
No.
Who are you going to put offside
say
if
whoever,
you say no?
Say whoever you think.
Do you know what? I've really enjoyed Nick this year, so I'm going to say fair.
Oh, yes, I got it out of it.
That's been very good.
If you were an elite sports person, you would give nothing to the media. You'd be working, dancing around every question.
No, that's not true. I just think that sometimes you can answer things with a bit more nuance than you, Tom.
Fair or fast is a segment that's been made famous.
I know, and
for
you always line me up with these questions that I don't want to answer. It's so unfair.
I would say that's fair. Max, I'll finish with you.
Fair.
You are a better podcast host than Ben. Fair or fast?
absolute fast. I can't believe you'd even broach the conversation.
There we go. That's the end of Fair or Fast.
Fair or fast.
Yes.
Good. What else are we going to talk about, Max, this weekend's game?
Yeah, there's a little bit other stuff that we wanted to chat about before we do that. Let's talk about the Suns. So they had not a great performance.
Do we got to talk about them?
So it's in the rundown.
Yes.
So I have to broach it. Ben has written in his rundown, which he prepares, that's why he's a better podcast host than me, were the Suns really that bad? Could they have played much better? And the interesting thing for me actually comes from the second point he's got down. They really needed, I felt when watching that game, because I was covering that for Fox, a veteran midfielder, maybe one who's played in WA before and is really racking them up in the midfield. Oh, a Michael Barlow type, perhaps.
Yeah.
Why wasn't Michael Barlow playing? Why wasn't Jared Lyons, one of the best contested footy players of the last 2 years, playing for the Suns?
My understanding is Lyons wasn't playing because of his supposed lack of leg speed, which is ridiculous.
Have you seen the rest of the team?
Spare me.
It's absolutely absurd. And Michael Barlow, I'm not sure why he wasn't playing. But clearly Stuart Jew's got an idea of what makes a good team, and he got it wrong on the weekend because I don't think playing them. I think not playing them was a gross mistake.
It's just very odd to me. I wanted to bring that up because I did find it strange. Round 21, a big round of footy coming up. Let's do the tips and cups. This is the most important part of the show, as we all know.
Yes.
After Fair or Fast, of course. So we kick off on Friday night, Essendon v St Kilda for the James Gwilt Cup.
Oh, yes. Noble Park's very own.
Yes.
Very good.
With Adam Treloar, of course.
Essendon wins, Sarah, surely.
Yeah.
It's not great that this is the Friday night game this week, is
it? Essendon have three Friday night games to finish.
And they... My sincere hope is they win this because that means Essendon v Richmond next week is live.
Yeah, yeah.
Essendon can still make the finals if they win all three. They do have to beat Richmond at the G to do it, and then Port in Adelaide and have a better percentage than a few teams.
They'll win this.
They should win this.
They'll win this.
Their percentage isn't too hot flash, though, is it?
It's like 102, 103. Yeah. So it's enough where you could pass Sydney, who are on 109.
Yeah, that ain't hard, though, brother.
No. I still can't believe Essendon lost to Carlton. Unbelievable.
It could cost them the season quite clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
Quickly on St Kilda. Was that their worst loss of the year?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. It was. I was actually, I was in a movie. I was watching Mission Impossible 6.
I've heard that was very good.
Well, you can't take a breath in this film. It is unbelievable. He drives a helicopter, a motorbike, a car. It's just a boat.
It's like Diddy Kong Racing for the Nintendo 64.
I do like Diddy Kong Racing. So I looked at the score and St Kilda was up by 5 goals.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. They walk in the park.
Yep. And against the worst second half team in the comp.
Yeah, a team that has got bulk injuries.
Oh, bulk injuries.
Yeah.
So they talked about this on couch last night. Was it 11 players of the Dogs' best, 22 were out, and 4 of the Saints?
Yeah, it's quite incredible that they lost this game and lost it quite convincingly in the end. No, the Saints, they've got 1 foot in Europe in the off-season. They're done.
And is that some intel you've got for us?
Nope.
Okay.
Specific holiday booking intel. I think I understand. Some of their assistant coaches probably do as well at this point.
They do. That makes it hard, yeah.
Yeah, that.
What's hard the next game?
Unity. Hawthorn Geelong. This
is going to be a beauty.
Can I have a little plug? Can I plug?
Yes.
Tune into Fox Footy for this game. I think it's a Fox Footy game.
It's exclusive.
Because before the game,
live
there will
and
be
free
something
of ads.
Very special in the pre-game, celebrating all the great moments in Hawthorn Geelong games. So make sure you tune in.
And haven't there been some great moments?
Well, I'm going to be happy to watch half of that video package and the other half. Oh, wait.
You'll watch
Jared
Tom
Ruffett,
Hawkins.
Jared
yeah.
Ruffett's behind. Yeah, Tom Hawkins was good.
Tough game to tip, I think, because I still quite like Hawthorn. Maybe it's still the premiership hangover sort of side of things, but I don't mind them.
Aaron Lord Cup, by the way.
Aaron Lord Cup. Yeah, not a bad forward.
Everyone.
I'm still tipping Geelong, though.
I'm going with the Catters.
Yep.
Yeah, Geelong should be the better team, but you can never tell in these games. That Jared Ruffhead behind to win it last time back in round 2 was fantastic.
That's right. I forgot about that.
That might have been the best game of the year, that Easter Monday game. We forget about it, but it was fantastic. Yeah. Gold Coast
We were in a food coma at that point, weren't we, Sarah?
Something must end on Saturday afternoon at Metricon Stadium. The Gold Coast Suns versus Richmond for the Andrew Raines Cup. Richmond has not won a game interstate all season.
Let's go out with a bang.
Surely they will lose again to the Suns, right?
They're going
to
win and get a tan while they're at it.
So. Marzi's up there for the weekend. He's very excited.
He'll be going to Melbourne, I would have thought, or Hollywood.
Yeah, wouldn't have thought so. Going up on the Thursday night, doing a fishing trip, going to watch
Ripley's, believe it or not.
That's what he told you.
Definitely.
Fishing trip.
Okay, Tom.
He's going to Melbourne's, one of the great nightclubs in the world, Max.
I'd be more interested in the fact that they have Sizzlers up there still open.
I'm joking about Melbourne's, by the way.
Big
it's a shocking place.
Port Adelaide, Richmond's going to win. Port Adelaide v West Coast, the Jared Schofield Cup, another huge game. Port Adelaide on 12 wins, not a great percentage. That close showdown loss could really cost them. And West Coast, gaffless and Nick Natless.
Yeah, a bit deflated, the West Coast Eagles,
and
I think.
And Kennedy-less.
Yeah.
Probably.
We don't know that for sure, but that's the impression that we're getting.
They're being funny about him.
Yeah. Well,
they're not giving us a proper timeline on when he's going to come back.
West Coast media in the last month or so has been interesting.
Perth media in general, and not to mention Adelaide media as well. Port Adelaide.
Really?
I'm going to go West Coast because Port Adelaide have been teasing me for the past month. Yep. I keep tipping them and they keep losing. So they'll probably win this week.
Good, that's why I've gone for them.
I'm waiting for Port to show the talent that they have. I tipped them to finish top two at the start of the year.
They're so disappointing, Maxine.
They are really disappointing. They're a worse team than they were last year, certainly based on percentage. And I think West Coast can win this. And Port could miss the eight. They probably will need to beat Essendon in round 23 to be sure of it. Collingwood v Brisbane, the other Saturday night game, the Jared Molloy Cup.
Oh, yes.
So this is tough for them.
Related to Chloe.
Yes, uncle of Chloe.
Yeah.
Very good. AFLW, also an issue, but we'll move past that because that's just complaining about the AFL again.
Just watch women's footy on Fox.
So Brisbane are now 0-5 in games decided by 7 points or less this season.
Well, that won't be an issue this weekend because Collingwood will win by more than 7 points.
You say that, but think about their game from earlier this year and how
they
close
won.
That was.
Did they win that game?
I think Collingwood won, but it was very close.
At the Gabba, a high-scoring game.
Yes, that was a fantastic... Wasn't it like 11-1 to 12-0 at halftime?
It was ridiculous, but Collingwood would win this game. Now they're preparing for finals.
They've had a lot of injuries, though, and Brisbane keeps getting close to good teams.
Is it the MCG?
It's at Etihad, which brings it back down, I reckon.
Yeah. I'm tipping Collingwood.
I think Brisbane can make the finals next year.
Same, Maxi. No, I'm with you there.
You know I love Brisbane, Max.
I know. That would have been your favourite game to watch of all time.
Oh, I should love watching Brisbane North.
I love watching Brisbane.
They're my two favourite teams.
Oh, we know, Tom.
I love
the
Lions.
You do say it every week on the podcast.
And they made a great game. But just quickly on Brisbane. Mm. North Melbourne last year won 6 games for the year and were 1-4 or 0-4 in games by a goal or less. This year they're 3-1. They've turned that around and they've won 11 games.
So it's a learning curve, you're saying?
It's a thing where close games are luck. You know, we've talked about this with the Harry Taylor thing. We can talk about it with Cam Rayner now. This time, if he kicks that goal, they win. If he doesn't, they don't. It's so close. They have these 50-50 things, and that flips from year to year.
I think sometimes, though, practice makes perfect. Like, some teams partially. Are quite measured when they to run the clock down, for example.
Yes, and Chris Fagan, I think, said that they hadn't practiced that at all because they didn't expect to be in that sort of position.
Yeah, okay.
But you think about, Hawthorn was always good in close games. They had years when they weren't.
Yeah, for sure.
Every team... We assume that it's a skill to win close games. It generally isn't. That is what we found historically. That's all I'll say on that. GWS v Adelaide, another huge game. The Kirtley Hampton Cup.
Yes.
Unfortunately, won't be playing for it. Canberra this one.
Giants.
They don't lose there, do they?
No, they don't.
That's a fortress for them now.
Giants win that one.
Adelaide's good, but it is a fortress. North Melbourne v Bulldogs, the Jose Romero Cup.
Jose.
North Melbourne.
Hola. Hola, North.
Oh, my God. I'm sitting next to an absolute spud over here. A Mexican spud.
Delicious. I would imagine North wins, but they've got two games that are very winnable.
Hola, chica.
Sarah's completely lost.
Bulldogs and St Kilda. They can get to 13. They can just keep an eye on this. North v St Kilda, final game of the season, round 23. I'm tipping another West Coast Adelaide live ladder watch style incident.
That'd be awesome. I'd love that.
They can get by. Yeah. They can get in there.
And what's the last game?
Melbourne v. There's no cups for these ones. This is a very disappointing game.
Oh.
Melbourne v. Sydney. Can we think of one on the fly?
Nope. Jared Healy.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. This is a tough game to tip.
Very tough game to tip. I'm going for Melbourne, though.
Definitely
Sarah?
Melbourne. It's not tough at all.
Yeah, but we have to trust them, I guess. That's the difficulty.
They are trustworthy there at the G against the Swans.
Who are you going for, Maxie?
Melbourne. I really believe in Melbourne, but yeah, they just worry me.
Yeah.
And then finally, the biggest game of the round, saved till last, Fremantle hosting Carlton.
I've got for the Rhys Palmer Cup.
Yes.
What a stinker.
Also, GWS involved in there, of course, as well. Fremantle win this.
Yes, Fremantle win this.
I would have thought Carlton was bad with two extra players on the weekend. And that'll do it for this week's edition of the Fox Footy
Podcast.
Well
done, Max. You've been great.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for joining us, listeners, for this week. Stay tuned next time. I'm sure Benny will be back to lead us through it all. Another big week of footy coming up. Watch it all on Fox Footy and keep clicking back to foxfooty.com.au.